This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. Only a small number of men have ever dealt with the Constitution from the perspective of the President of the United States. To explore that relationship between the Constitution and the President further, public radio and television station WHYY and its Philadelphia neighbor, the National Constitution Center, joined forces for a series of conversations with former presidents about the Constitution. NPR's Cokie Roberts conducted the interviews. She begins with former President Gerald Ford. He served as chief executive for nearly 2.5 years, starting in August of 1974. That was one of the most turbulent times in American history. The interview with President Ford took place in Palm Springs, California, where he lives.
Article 2 of the Constitution begins, "The executive power shall be vested in a president of the United States of America." With those simple words, the Founding Fathers established the office that is the subject of the quadrennial hoopla of electing the president and vice president. Only one man ever took the oath of office without first facing the national electorate, Gerald Ford.
For the first time, we have carried out the commands of the 25th Amendment. In exactly 8 weeks, we have demonstrated to the world that our great republic stands solid, stands strong upon the bedrock of the Constitution.
I wasn't elected by the people across the country, but I had been properly selected by Mr. Nixon as a nominee for vice president, and I, of course, had to go through committee hearings in the House, which were extensive. I had to go through Senate committee hearings, which were also very vigorous. So everything that happened to me was appropriate under the Constitution. So I had no reluctance to assume the office and to do my duties.
The 25th Amendment to the Constitution had only been ratified 7 years before. In the wake of the Kennedy assassination, the vice president's chair sat empty for more than a year, leaving the aged Speaker of the House, John McCormick, next in line for the presidency. When Congressman Gerald Ford voted for the amendment which provided a way to fill the office, he had no way of knowing that he would become its beneficiary. But bribery and tax scandals had forced Vice President Spiro Agnew to resign, and Ford was picked to replace him by President Nixon. Congress confirmed Ford as vice president as the Watergate scandal was exploding, and soon the president was also forced out of office. One of the earliest actions of the Ford presidency was also the most controversial. He used his constitutional power of clemency to pardon Richard Nixon, and he's happy he did.
In the first month that I was in the White House, I spent at least 25% of my time listening to lawyers and others telling me what I should do about Mr. Nixon's problems, his papers, his tapes, etc. And I finally decided that as a new president under very difficult circumstances, I had an obligation to spend all of my time, all, on the problems of 200 million Americans. And therefore, the only way to clear the deck, to get to the substantive problems that I faced, was to pardon Mr. Nixon and get his problems off my desk in the Oval Office.
The pardon created a firestorm, knocking the initial political support out from under the new president, who was already struggling with his status as an unelected chief executive, dealing with a couple of new laws, the Budget and Impoundment Act and War Powers Act, laws passed by Congress to try to limit what the legislative branch called Nixon's imperial presidency.
I was not in favor of an imperial presidency. But on the other side of the coin, I was not in favor of an imperiled presidency. And that's the major asset of our Constitution. There is a good balance in language between the three branches. Now, there are times, Cokie, when a presidency is too powerful.
During World War II, for instance, the presidency was all-powerful, according to President Ford, whereas at the time leading up to the Civil War, Congress was more dominant. Since the Constitution was ratified, the executive and legislative branches have tried to wrest power from one another. And, says President Ford, he's seen the struggle from both sides.
When I was a member of the House for 25 and a half years, I used to look at the president and the vice president, those dictators at the other end. How can they be so arbitrary and difficult? Then when you shift from the legislative to the executive branch of the government, and you look at the Congress and say, why are all of those House and Senate members so irresponsible?
The balance of powers created by the Constitution includes the judiciary as well, and there President Ford's brief tenure in the Oval Office has left a long-standing mark. His appointee to the Supreme Court, John Paul Stevens. Stevens still serves 30 years later as a living legacy to the Ford presidency, but perhaps not exactly the legacy the Republican president had in mind.
I've had some differences with him, but he has a job to do as he sees fit, and I've never been critical publicly of his decisions. He has turned out to be one of the more liberal members of the court, which is different than I envisioned, but he's a very good legal scholar, and I support it.
What President Ford does not support is efforts to change the Constitution through amendment, except under extraordinary circumstances.
I think it would be a mistake in an emotional era to make a drastic change in the Constitution.
You said it's a good thing that it's hard because otherwise our sacred Constitution might more nearly resemble the bylaws of your local garden club.
The president, who came to office courtesy of a constitutional amendment, does accept the need to broaden rights from time to time. He sided with his alma mater, the University of Michigan, in its affirmative action attempts, and, perhaps under some domestic duress, he backed the Equal Rights Amendment for women.
Mrs. Ford was a very ardent supporter of equal rights for women, and I used to get a lecture quite frequently, and I got pushed to act on the floor of the House in favor of it, and I did. I voted for it. And I think it's a good approach, but it was a very controversial provision, and it had a life of its own, and of course we've achieved a lot of those benefits of the Equal Rights Amendment without having to go through the process.
The ultimate power under the Constitution rests with the people, something Gerald Ford learned the hard way. He was defeated when he ran for election as president. But the man who beat him, Jimmy Carter, understood the role President Ford played in turbulent times.
I want to thank my predecessor for all he has done to heal our land.
Gerald Ford would add that he had some help from the Constitution. I'm Cokie Roberts.
Cokie's entire interview with President Ford will be on many local public radio and television stations, and it is also available at npr.org.